Now we know what it's all really about. We are going to be focusing, as I said, on women as opposed to on mothers because, you know, it's a tough day for some people and I just want to acknowledge that. It may be a day where you've got painful memories. It may be a day where you don't have great relationships with your kids or with your pet, with your mother. And there's so much hype around the day. I just want to acknowledge that it can be tough. But as we think about women, what we want to talk about today is how God honours and values women. He designed a special place for women in his plan, actually, in his plan to restore and redeem humanity. God's love for women is radically different to the worlds that we see around us. So I'm just planting that little theme, and we're going to go into it in a little bit more detail.
Let's have today's reading. Now, Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gives us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with him, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Let me pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you'd inspire and guide Sally Ann as she speaks, and help us to have open hearts, ready to listen, and move with what your Spirit is telling us. Amen.
So here's the thing. Both now and throughout history, as we saw in that video, many women have endured unfair treatment and have been devalued by culture and devalued by society. Women, in reality, are more likely than men to be victims of violence. 1 in 3 women and girls suffer from violent acts against them, including physical and sexual abuse. Women represent 2/3 of people living in poverty. More than half of the 733 million illiterate people in the world are women. After reading these sorts of statistics, it might be very tempting for us to think that the world's conduct towards women is the same as how God views women. Or it may seem that God doesn't value women the same way as he values men. But the reality is this, that God cares deeply about women. And he demonstrates this throughout the Bible and today. From the beginning, right in the book of Genesis, when God created the world, he's shown how he specifically made women and men in his image and likeness to uniquely reflect him and his character. But then when Adam and Eve first sinned against God, brokenness entered into the world. And throughout time, women were treated with a lot less dignity, with a lot less honor, with a lot less value than they were originally created with. Jesus was born into a culture that treated women as outsiders and as a source of shame. Jesus, who is God in human flesh, he saw the grief and he saw the shame of the women in his time. And he engaged and empathized with their struggles to restore them and to bring them a flourishing life. Jesus championed and advocated for women and wanted them to be involved in his plan, in a sense, to reconcile the world to himself. He demonstrated to women then and now that God's love for women is very different from the world's. So scripture tells us many stories where Jesus honors women. And I'm just going to pick up on 3. The first one, Mary Magdalene. She was the first person to see Jesus, the resurrected Christ. When Peter and John came to Jesus' tomb on Easter Sunday, they discovered it was empty. They ran away. They went back to tell the disciples about what they saw. But Mary Magdalene, a follower and disciple of Jesus, she came to the tomb that morning. She found it empty. She sort of hung around and lingered. And talking to a man close by, and when he spoke to her, she immediately recognized that he was Jesus, that he was the Savior, risen from the dead. And in that culture, at that time, women's testimonies were dismissed. They were considered not valid, actually. But the risen Jesus chose to reveal his resurrection first to a woman. And Jesus entrusted her to be the first person to go and tell the other disciples that he was alive. So that was Mary Magdalene. Secondly, the woman at the well, the woman that we saw in the video today. During his ministry, Jesus intentionally traveled through Samaria. This was a place that most Jews avoided because of ethnic tension. In that culture, Jews didn't talk to Samaritans, and men didn't talk to women. So he was breaking two huge social norms. And that day, Jesus goes and speaks to the woman getting water at the local well and asks her for a drink. Traditionally, women would gather at the well to collect water early in the morning when it wasn't so hot. But this woman, because of her shame, because of her how she felt, she went during the middle of the day so that other women wouldn't see her. Shame was part of her life story, and Jesus knew that. And he wanted to restore her. So Jesus enters, in a sense, into her story and shows her a way to have life. She knew he was a savior. She trusted him to forgive her sins. Jesus lifts her out of her shame, and then she boldly goes off to the town and tells many people about Jesus. So she was the second woman that Jesus honored. Third woman that I'm picking up on today is the woman that had a really debilitating illness in Luke 8. This unnamed woman, she had been bleeding for 12 years constantly. And she took all her faith and all her courage, and she touches the hem on Jesus' robe as he passes by. Immediately, she was healed. The bleeding stops, and she knew that. After all those years, she was finally well. She was hoping just to slip off quietly, unnoticed, but Jesus had other ideas. He knew someone had touched him. He said, "Who's touched me?" One of the disciples pointed out that he was surrounded by a crowd of people. "Someone deliberately touched me," Jesus said, "for I felt healing power go out of me." Finally, this frightened lady steps forward, falls at his feet, and confesses that she touched him, believing that he could heal her. And in those days, according to Jewish law, her bleeding meant she couldn't come into physical contact with anyone. She likely felt the depths of loneliness. She was cut off from her community because of her illness. But instead of criticizing her for touching him, Jesus turns towards her and says this, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." He noticed her. He spoke comforting words to her. He even commended her for her strong faith. He restored her health and her place in community. So, the women we read about in the Bible, just like the men in the Bible, actually are far from perfect. Some come from very troubled lives. Some are coping with illness and shame. Mary Magdalene, she was plagued by demons. The Samaritan lady, she felt an outsider, a huge sense of shame. The lady was bleeding for 12 years, a debilitating illness. But even though the cultural norms of the day required women actually to be treated as objects, even though the religious leaders gave no place for women in the religious world, Jesus saw the person. He saw the person. He looked beyond the challenges that they had and honored them. He challenged the dominance of men over women in his society, risking his reputation, even ridicule. You see, God didn't create women as an add-on, but he created women in his image, to reveal and reflect him on earth in only ways that women can. And sadly, we know that many women in this country and around the world, they're not honored, they're not treated as equals, they're not empowered in the way that God intended. But in the Bible, God says this to us as I conclude, "Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. And this is for all of us, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, since you are precious and honored in my sight, I will give people in exchange for you. And in fact, God did give people, he gave a person, he gave his son, Jesus Christ, in exchange to die for us on the cross, whether we're a man or whether we are a woman. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he honors us. He gave his life for us. So here's the message for all of us women today. Know this, to God, we are beautiful. We are honored. We are forgiven. We are loved. We are an equal part of his family. And he made us to reflect him. We have a role. We have a position because we are in Christ. Amen. Be blessed.